today on Real Radio.
But when a person loses hope, they can be the healthiest person on the planet. And the fastest way to end your life is to lose hope.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. You know, suicide is a passionate, sensitive, and profoundly painful subject for a lot of people. It draws us towards emotional answers, but what exactly does the Bible say about suicide? Acts 17:28 reminds us that in Him we live and have our being, while in Psalm 42:1, King David laments, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" There are many issues that can devastate us, and it's been said that when a person loses all hope, he can suddenly die. Suicide is a uniquely human worldwide crisis. Listen now as Pastor Jack discusses the risk factors among gender, youth, and in America today. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So God, I pray that you would give me the skill to communicate and to be serious enough, Lord God, but not too serious, and to somehow bring some sort of ease to where ease needs to be applied. Lord, you deliver this message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, we pray. Amen. What is suicide in our worldview series? And the whole point of this series is for you and I to develop what is called a biblical worldview. As we've been saying, every one of us, if you are breathing right now, you have a worldview. And those of us here tonight, just hypothetically assuming that we are all Christians, then we would be having a Christian worldview. That means that you and I think Bible. We speak Bible. We act Bible. We live Bible. The Bible is our gold standard for our lives. The Bible is everything. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And as Christians, we live it and we pursue Him. And so when we talk about a worldview, a biblical worldview, we're talking about how we see things, how we act, and how we react in the world around us. And so grab your Bibles. As you know, it's our theme verse, Acts 17:28. One little verse wraps up the entire concept of having a biblical worldview. Acts 17:28, you guys know by now that Paul was in Athens waiting for the rest of his ministry entourage to arrive. And as he was, so to speak, killing time, he went to Mars Hill. And he ascended up to that point, which is still there today. And as he stood there, he saw all these foreign gods that the Greeks wanted to make sure that they worship. And then he speaks to the Greeks, the Athenians, about the god that they had possibly left out, because that podium, that pedestal, said there to the unknown God. And Paul began to minister to them about this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, Acts 17:28. And there he says, "For in him we live," you ought to circle the word live, "and move," circle that, "and have our being," circle that. Because regarding our living, that is to receive life from him or to have been quickened, he said, from this God that you guys have missed, he's the one that has quickened all of us to life. And then secondly, he's the God that we move in. That is that we are stirred up. We are aroused. We are awakened in this life by this God, the God of the Bible. And then we have our being. That word is we have our existence, our personality, our individuality by this amazing, awesome God of the Bible. And as I mentioned, we enter in now to a most sensitive and emotional topic tonight, that of suicide. What is the Bible saying about suicide? And I am not going to ask for a show of hands, because in some way, shape, or form, we have been affected by this thing called suicide. We either worked with somebody, or we had a relative or a loved one. Maybe it was a husband or a wife. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a parent. We certainly have read about it, suicide. And there are various, listen, there are various denominations or divisions of what is called Christianity even, that says, no, concerning suicide, a person, no matter what, goes directly to hell. Or another group will say, no concerning suicide, this is the answer. And all these opinions are out there and circumstances and issues. But what does the Bible have to say? And what are the things that bring a person to the point of suicide? That is a difficult thing to handle. So be very careful how you hear what I have to say tonight. In a topic this painful and this volatile, no matter how well I might be able to say something tonight, emotions are going to come across in your mind and thwart what I'm saying. Because I got to tell you right now, I believe that Satan doesn't want anyone to get the truth on suicide. So let's be very careful and let the Bible speak to us and not our emotions as they have a tendency to do. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, now listen, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's very emotional language the psalmist uses. Verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, listen, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. Notice the progression, or I should say the decline. I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Profound emotional statements by the psalmist. Speaking about a real issue. We talk about suicide and the things that surround suicide or drive a person to suicide. You can write things down like health issues, depression, fear, anxiety, chemical imbalances, bipolar issues. The list goes on and on. And let me tell you right now, the list is growing. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying the list is growing because there are more and more issues that are happening in life. And the Bible even predicted that as we approach the last days, more and more people will want to expedite their lives culminating in suicide. It's been well said that cancer can take a man's life, and in a sense, with a bit of mercy. But when a man loses all hope, he then suddenly dies. Did you know that? Think about that for a moment. Think about that. Think about right now, if you have just received word that you either have cancer, or maybe you found out that you have AIDS, or something like that, some sort of disease, or some sort of sentence. In a way, it's merciful, because you have the opportunity to get your life in order, don't you? I tell you, that's much more merciful than some other way that you could die in an instant. But when a person loses hope, they can be the healthiest person on the planet. And the fastest way to end your life is to lose hope. When a person loses hope, they pull the trigger, or they jump off the bridge, or they put a rope around their neck. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it answers why suicide is a scourge upon the human race. Listen carefully. It is uniquely human. We are not animals. We've been created in the image of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, the Bible says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica, just north of the Aegean Sea, one of the oldest cities in the world. And he writes to them about their newfound faith in Christ and their amazing position, that God is at work to sanctify them completely. But notice the point, and the reason why I bring this up to you, is that you and I, our bodies, our souls, and our spirits, is a trichotomy. You are, in a sense, a Trinity being. Isn't it interesting? And we are created in the image of God. Isn't that interesting? Body, soul, and spirit. And each of those things are in a perfect circuit of relatability, one to another. If your physical body is hurting, it affects your mind, the way that you think. That's your soul. Psuche. Psuche psychology is soulology. That's where we get that from, that Greek word. And that affects your spirit. You can become depressed over a physical issue, and it can affect your spirit. But it's very important that we understand these things. Listen, I'm going to give you some facts and give you some data up front, and I want to get over it and then get into the remedy, okay? So will you bear with me for a moment? From the National Center of Health Statistics, suicide in the world, worldwide. The former Eastern European countries of the Soviet Union, historically as well as presently, have the highest suicide rates worldwide, while the predominant Catholic South American countries have the lowest rate of suicide. The international suicide capital of the world, shockingly, is Ottawa, Canada, according to the National Center of Health Statistics. And you think about that for a moment, where the Soviet bloc nations were told, by the way, they were once historically Christian. And then when the Soviet Empire expanded and took Eastern Europe and said to them, no, in fact, I talked to a woman, my goodness, I'm feeling old right about now. I think it was 1992, a babushka in Russia came up to me. I was speaking the gospel in Moscow and on the street, and I got done, and a woman was crying. She had to be in her 70s or 80s. She came up, she was crying. I'll never forget the way that she looked. She still had dirt on her hands. She had two grocery bags full of mushrooms that she had been picking in the country. And she had come home. And she set down her bag. She was crying. And she grabbed me by the face. Literally grabbed me by the face with her tears. And she gave me a big kiss. And my translator, I remember one thing. She was saying, "Spasibo Isus, spasibo Isus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." And I asked my translator, what is she saying? And she said she remembers being about 16 years old when the Soviets came into her home, and they went through the house, and they took all the crosses off the walls, and they took all their Bibles and burned them, and said that God, there was no God. And she said, "I've been praying for over 70 years that this gospel would be preached again." I got to tell you, that woman turned me into a ball of tears on a sunny Moscow day. But when you say God is dead and God doesn't exist, then it's not uncommon for man to then turn and kill man. Because if there's no fear of God, then there's no fear of anything else. And when you begin to tell people that God doesn't love you and there is no God, he doesn't exist, then no wonder suicide rates are high in such a setting. And I find it interesting that in South America, where there's a heavy Catholic presence, there's a great decline in suicide. What about the risk of suicide? Studies indicate that the best way to prevent suicide is through early recognition and treatment of depression and of other mental illnesses that may lead to suicide. Biological, chemical imbalances can be a major contributing factor. Depression, manic depression, schizophrenia, substance abuse, eating disorders, listen to this, anxiety, stress, and unhealthy self-perception all increase the probability of suicide attempts and completions. Again, this is from the National Center for Health. From the Center for Disease and Control and Prevention, suicide and gender. In most countries, women attempt suicide more often. However, men are more likely to complete the suicide. Although the frequency of suicides for young adults worldwide has been increasing since the 1990s, since 2005, listen to this, since 2005, older white males continue to have the highest suicide rate among the genders. The majority of suicide completions take place during the spring, while the holiday seasons are a close second. Suicide in America, from the American College of Psychiatrics. On an average, over 36,000 people in the United States die by suicide. The latest data available from the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention indicates that last year, 36,035 suicide deaths were reported in the United States, making it the highest rate since 1993. This latest rise places suicide again among 10 leading causes of death. And in the U.S., nationally, the rate of suicide has been on the increase since 1999. This is the highest rate of suicide in 15 years. Suicide is now the fourth leading cause of death among adults, between the ages of 8 to 65 in the United States. It is believed, not confirmed, but from the years 1993 to 1999, suicide declined in the United States, and some attribute it, most, by the way, did attribute it to the great economic boom, the dot-com age, Reaganomics, the fruit of that. America during that period of time was producing more millionaires per month than any other time in human history. Could it be that our happiness is based upon our perceived wealth? Could it be that something happened in 1999 and 2000 that began to cause an increase? Ladies and gentlemen, look at that profound dip and rise in suicide in America, the happiest place on earth. What's happening? What's gone wrong? Luke chapter 21, verse 26, Jesus says, men's hearts will fail them for fear at the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. As we approach the last days, there'll be a greater temptation for people to panic. Suicide among the young, suicide among America's youth has been on the rise, making suicide the sixth leading cause of death among those 9 years of age to 14 in America. Suicide is now third leading cause of death among those 15 to 24. Risk factors for suicide among America's young include suicidal thoughts, depression, aggressive behavior, bipolar disorder, anxiety, stress, drug, and alcohol abuse. Suicide by the numbers. Here's the last thing you're going to have to hear about on this. Suicide by the numbers. From the National Center of Health Statistics. The least number of suicides in America occurs in the state of New Jersey. Isn't that interesting? The most number of suicides in America are in Alaska. And this part I inserted. And if happy cows come from California, apparently people do too, as Californians are among the least likely people in America to commit suicide. Out of 50 states, California is 42nd, so that's pretty good. The suicide capital of America is nearly a tie between two cities. I wonder if you know what they are, by the way. What is the suicide capital in America? Anybody know? Oh my goodness. Okay, did you read my notes? Seattle by far is the suicide capital of America. One of the most wealthiest cities in America. One of the most beautiful cities in America, outside of my hometown, San Diego, of course, is the most beautiful place in the world. But Seattle, a lot of great wealth in Seattle. Some people attribute it to the lack of sunshine in Seattle, some 40 days of sunshine in Seattle, something like that. Seattle is the suicide capital of the world. Now listen to this. It is true, Seattle's the suicide capital of America among its residents. I thought that was strange. Well, hello, who else is there? Well, it's nearly tied with another city in America, but its residents do not kill themselves as often as their visitors. People go there to kill themselves. That city is Las Vegas, Nevada. More people commit suicide visiting Las Vegas than any other city in America. If you're going to kill yourself, I can think of a more beautiful place than Las Vegas, Nevada, but that's not the point. They go there at their last ditch effort of hope, pulling that handle or throwing that dice, and when they lose it all, it's over. Isn't that sad? Let me tell you what I didn't find in researching this. I had a very, very hard time finding a real, long-lasting, permanent fix. In a word, I couldn't find much about any spiritual assistance if you log on regarding suicide. Almost every website I went to, I pretended I was one that was so depressed, and I went on there and I said, suicide help. And everything led me down a path, which, look, I'm not totally shutting this down. It's just sad that it was the overwhelming response and no spiritual help was provided. And it was, you need to contact the doctor, you need to get medication, you need to get into a 12-step program, you need to get into a group, and all that kind of stuff. Remember I told you we are a body, soul, and spirit? You can work all you want on the mind of a person, but if you don't get to their spirit, you'll never fix them. That's where God comes in. That's what God does. Tonight, if you're here or if you're listening in right now, if you're watching right now and you are thinking about suicide, Or you know somebody who is thinking about suicide. Keep this in mind. There's great hope. And we're going to talk about that hope tonight. It's very important. Keep in mind that the Bible tells us, and I'll go through this quickly. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord commanded that man was able to eat of every tree of the garden that you may freely eat of, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That is an interesting thing, because if we're talking about suicide, if you really want to study it, the very first suicide that ever took place was kind of a suicide slash homicide, honestly. Satan speaks to Eve, and it all had to do with obedience to God. That is key to tonight. That's key to your freedom from depression and freedom from suicide. Satan said, hey, Eve, I'm paraphrasing now. Hey, Eve, listen, don't worry about it. God's not telling you the whole truth. He knows the day that you eat of that fruit he said not to eat of, then you'll become just like him. He doesn't want you to be like him. So listen, go ahead and do it. It's cool. It's good. It's good. It'd be good for you. You'll be free. Just do it. Go there and take the bite. And she goes and she eats of the forbidden fruit, which we have no idea what it is. And she dies in that day. You say, no, she didn't. She lived another 900 years. She died that day. She died spiritually in an instant. And when that spirit life died, it caused something to be hatched called death. And she died, yes, almost a millennia later, but she died nonetheless. Adam committed, as it were, suicide. As he knew what had happened to her, he was still in that place of perfection, walking with God. He had heard what Satan had done. He sees the demise of his wife, and he, in a sense, commits suicide. He bites of the fruit as well, and Adam dies that day. Of course, he lives on nearly a millennium, but he dies that day. And isn't it interesting that Satan is the originator of the homicide slash suicide action? You say, well, what makes you say that? My biblical worldview. And I'm not asking you to agree with it. You can be wrong if you like. But I'm sticking with the Bible. So, number one, here we go. What is suicide? Suicide is a satanic invention. Will you write that down? It's a satanic invention. By the way, the testimonials are as long as life is. It's awesome how a man or a woman might be ready to jump off of a balcony of a hotel or pull the trigger or swallow those pills. And I've heard this time and time again. Inevitably, they seem to turn on the TV. I've even heard people say they were getting ready to kill themselves and the TV came on. And there was that preacher, or there was Billy Graham, or there was some program that caused them to think about God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What is Suicide? A study on what the Bible has to say about the sensitive and profoundly painful subject of suicide. Today's lesson was just one in a series titled The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. If you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and grab any episode you might have missed. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before I let you go, I want to remind you that you can get a hold of the MP3s and the video for the Engage California Conference. It happened here at Chino Hills just recently, and boy, the list of speakers is just amazing. Dennis Prager was on the list, Frank Gaffney, Shannon Grove, the Honorable Bob McEwen, John Stone Street, Donald Dix, Karen England, and of course, our very own Pastor Jack. If you'd like to get a hold of the USB with the MP3 and MP4s, it's available for you for a gift of any amount. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and there you'll get all the details. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.